scrambles left, winds up right by.
He's got time at the 10 to the 5, yes! To the end zone. Touchdown.
Darren Sproles gone. Touchdown, Eagles.
This is the Root and Why Podcast, talking all things NFL. Now here's your hosts, Root and Why.
Hello and welcome to a mini episode of Woot and Why. I am Josh Why. Woot isn't here. He's either working away, slaving away, doing night shift, up all night, working hard, or he forgot to deflate the 12th ball and Bill Belichick has got rid of him. Come on, Andrew, let me make a joke about Deflate Gate. It's starting to sauce up. It's getting spicy. But anyway, this mini episode is I'm going to play my ABC grandstand appearance on Tuesday morning in Australia, so just after the AFC and NFC Championship games. So that will go through our recaps of the game. And then on Saturday, Woot's going to join us for our anti-Pro Bowl.
I'm ready to go in, coach. Just give me a chance.
That's Ryan Lilly calling out to be picked first overall. Remember, we've got to lose to win, so that should be an exciting episode. Woot will also preview the Super Bowl from his perspective because he will not be joining us in the Super Bowl preview show. He's off finding the ring in Mordor in New Zealand on a cruise. So I don't know how a cruise will go in Mordor, but anyway, we'll see how we go. Also, we've got Dave Barron from Sydney NFL Supporters Group joining us to discuss the Super Bowl party at King Street Brewhouse, and I'm about to play the ABC grandstand. Just also an added feature in tonight's episode is a small little weather report from the guys at the ABC grandstand. So let me just play that for you guys.
Grandstand Breakfast on Grandstand Digital, streaming online, on your mobile, and on digital radio.
We'll have a quick look around the country at your weather before we move on. We've got Josh Y on the way to wrap up last night's conference championships, which will decide the Super Bowl, which have decided the Super Bowl, rather. We'll get to that in just a moment. If you're in Sydney, expect a top of 26 degrees and showers. In Melbourne for the Australian Open, late showers today. A shower or two, in fact, a top of 28. In Brisbane, 28 degrees, showers with a possible storm. In Perth, expect a top of 35 and for it to be sunny. Delightful. Adelaide, 31 degrees is your maximum and it'll be cloudy. In Hobart, 25 degrees is the top with a possible late shower. In Canberra, where they're playing Palestine tonight, 26 degrees is the maximum with a shower or two and a possible storm. And in Darwin, 32 degrees, shower or two and a possible storm.
But joining us right now, Michael, from the Root and Why podcast,
we've got Josh Why. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Now, it's obviously a big day, a big morning, or yesterday was a big afternoon, depending on which time zone you want to choose particularly, because we now know who's going to the Super Bowl. We could go in chronological order, but I'm not going to, because the second game, wow, New England Patriots and Indianapolis Colts. Who'd have thought that would end up 45-7 in favor of the Patriots? They're going to the Super Bowl in a big way.
Yeah, it was tough to watch for me, personally. I promised I wouldn't cry, so yeah. Let's see how we go. The Colts pretty much pumped us instead of the balls, apparently. There's reports there's been some sort of ball tampering, deflating. That wasn't the reason that the Colts lost. They just didn't show up, and the Patriots' defense just suffocated Andrew Luck. He didn't get sacked, but he was pressured on 47% of his dropbacks, which is the single highest percentage he's ever faced in his career. And because their secondary is so good with Darrell Revis and Kyle Arrington, who blanketed T.Y. Hilton, they had to rush two or three players, and the receivers couldn't get open for Luck, and eventually the Patriots just ran the ball straight down their throat. 148 yards and three touchdowns to LeGarrette Blount.
45-7. I had to rub it in, Josh. 45-7. New England versus Indianapolis. But of course, as you touched on just before, those deflated balls are allegedly used in that match. I mean, that's a fairly serious thing to be doing to affect the outcome of a game. What could be the penalty behind if indeed that is deemed to be true?
Yeah. Well, I said to you guys last week that we only had to look at Bill Belichick's Wikipedia page to see the tactics. And now there's probably another chapter in that Wikipedia page. There's talks of losing draft picks and potentially a fine, but look, it didn't affect the outcome of the game. It is, I just don't understand why they have to do it. You've got Bill Belichick, who I think is the greatest coach I've ever seen. You've got probably the greatest tight end ever in Rob Gronkowski and a top five all-time quarterback in Tom Brady. I just don't understand why you have to resort to those style of tactics. The Colts are never going to win that game when they're dropping punts and missing catches. I just don't understand it. It's just baffling.
What I want to know is how they're deflating the balls in the first place. Is there, you know, a quarterback hold with, you know, a handful of thumbtacks on his hands, wearing a pair of glove tacks?
Have we got a gate name for this? Could this be ball gate?
There's been a hashtag, deflate gate.
Deflate gate. That's deflate much gate. Better. I'm going to use that later on today. Hey, if we do look at the Colts, and I'm sorry to hammer it home, I do feel bad, but you know, we have to. The postseason analysis, which has started already, it started halftime, let's say, has suggested there just hasn't been enough of a change since this time last year. I mean, you're certainly closely placed with the Colts. What do you think about that, and where do they have to improve now if they do want to make that step forward next postseason?
They need to build a team around Andrew Luck, otherwise they're going to waste his talents. He's arguably one of the best young quarterback in the NFL. He's just incredible, and he's developed so much faster than we could ever imagine. But there's just no, apart from probably three or four guys on defense, there's a lot of players that I'd be sweating, I'd be nervous right now. They could be cut and traded away. There's just not enough pieces in place. And offensively as well, Reggie Wayne looks to be retiring, which is, it's a sad way for him to lose his last game. That's a Hall of Fame type career. He's been incredible for so, so long. About outside T.Y. Hilton, there's only sort of a rookie in Dante Moncrief there. So they need to get a few more pieces and I think better game plan. They need to coach a bit more aggressively, dropping punts and things like that. It just seems to be the same old story with the Colts. I see it every playoff. As soon as they muff that first punt, I was like, this is over. We're done. Yeah.
In some respects, the final score is almost resembling, a very exaggerated game of soccer in some respects, 45-7. I guess Tom Brady will be on the wish list of Indianapolis, I guess, in the future at some point. I don't think he's going anywhere if you just ask me. 20 postseason wins for Brady. That's more than 21 current NFL franchises alone. A remarkable feat from Brady.
It is. Quite a career, quite a postseason career for him. And I think on the wish list for the Colts is for him to retire. And they might have a chance when he and Belichick are whisked away on their golden throne.
We'll see how that goes. We do turn our attention to the other match. Remarkable in its own right, not for significance of score, but for significance of comebacks, because despite the Seahawks playing at their incredible home stadium, in which it's so loud you can't hear anything, had to come back, had to make the biggest conference championship comeback ever, coming from 16 down. And it all started with yet another fantastic bit of play, a trick fake field goal.
Yeah. That was incredible. The first half of that, I've never heard the stadium so quiet. Mm-hmm. Down 16-0. Russell Wilson threw two interceptions before even completing a pass. Finished with four total interceptions, yet still won a game and is heading to the Super Bowl. I've never seen anything like it. The NFL just, like, every time you think, oh, that can't happen, it happens. And punter John Ryan with that 19-yard pass to an undrafted tight end, Clint Gresham, for the trick play. And if you want to see something funny, look up the photo of his face when he's thrown up the ball. It looks like he's got a mouthful of lemons. And it was just the spark that the Seahawks needed. After that, Wilson started running the read option and started opening up space and running the ball. And then all it did was just beast mode, was just took over the game. He seemed to carry Patriots players 3 or 4 yards for first downs, and he finished with 157 yards.
What did prompt that early nightmare first half for Seattle? Was quarterback Russell Wilson not at his best? I mean, what was their early downfall?
Yeah, well, the Packers started the game quite well, and then there was a fumble off a kickoff. But the problem was with Russell Wilson, he threw those four total interceptions, and off the first three, the Packers only managed 6 points. So their defense kept them in it. There was two plays from the Packers there that I just keep scratching my head, and I know people are going to blame Brendan Bostic for stuffing up the onside kick and costing them the game, but the coach, Mike McCarthy, twice on 4th and 1 at the one, kicked a field goal. I think in the playoffs, you can't be so conservative. You've got to be aggressive. You know, you could be heading into, you know, halftime at 24-0 instead of 16-0, and the game's pretty much over by then. And, you know, four interceptions and you're only leading by, 16 points, it's kept them in it.
Now, we're talking about, we're heading towards that Super Bowl now. It's 2 weeks away. We get the 2 weeks break. We talked about Tom Brady with his 20 postseason wins. Russell Wilson now has the chance to make his own bit of history and become the youngest ever double Super Bowl winning quarterback. So there are, NFL's very much one of those stats games, as is, well, virtually any American sport. They love it. But this is another, a cool one here, and it's a big moment for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it is. It's quite funny. He has a sort of similar path to Tom Brady in that he was drafted to a team that has a really strong defense and have great success early, and he could win his second ring and be well on his way to sort of trumping Tom Brady's sort of career in the postseason, or the numbers anyway. But Michael Bennett, he's bragged all year that this Seahawks defense is the best ever. And if they can beat Peyton Manning last year in the Super Bowl and Tom Brady this year in the Super Bowl, that goes that's a long way to solidifying that.
And I guess for the Seahawks, they'll be looking to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champion since, ironically, the New England Patriots in 04 and 05.
Yeah, definitely a story to watch, and I think the health of Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas, who both have injuries, will be crucial to them. But, you know, two Super Bowls in a row is really hard to do. Like, they were the first team to just win a Super Bowl champion, just to win a game in the postseason the following year since 2005. So to go back-to-back, especially after the game they just had, is an astonishing feat.
Now we have Seahawks versus Patriots. It's been decided that is the Super Bowl. What's this game going to come down to? What's the matchups going to be in that Super Bowl, and how are we going to end up with a result?
Yeah, it's so many matchups. I had a brief look last night. It's going to take weeks for me to break this down. But I think how the Seahawks match up with Rob Gronkowski, as I said, I think he's the greatest tight end ever. He has 55 touchdowns in his first five seasons. That's more than anyone in tight end in history. But the Seahawks can match up well with Gronk. Ernie average 39 yards a game to the tight end. So Cam Chancellor and KJ Wright, their linebacker, they're pretty good at coverage. So I think if they can, you know, hold Gronk in check and not let him take over this game, they have a long way of doing it. And I think Marshawn Lynch needs to have another monster game. But every playoff game, there seems to be another highlight reel that Marshawn Lynch creates for his Hall of Fame footage. I think he's well on his way. You know, they're averaging 173 rushing yards a game, and the Patriots are allowing over 100 rushing yards a game. So I think Lynch could have a big game, and they can control the clock and not force Russell to throw it as much as he had to in this game, which didn't end too well for him. It ended well. He finished the game strong, but it started off quite ugly, and against his Patriots defense, and they're not going to give up a lead like that.
Well, many numbers will be crunched between now and then. Many statistics will be made, and much hypothesizing will be hypothesized. 2 weeks till the Super Bowl. We all do look forward to it. So, Josh White, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
All right, so that was my appearance on ABC Grandstand during the week. And just a couple of things I didn't get to say, that I had some good little juicy little nuggets for you guys. Jermaine Kearse is the first player in NFL history whose only reception of a playoff game was a touchdown catch in overtime. I don't think we'll ever see anything like that ever again. So Jermaine Kearse has a unique place in the NFL history books. I also thought what was interesting in the Super Bowl is that the Patriots have not played a game at the University of Phoenix Stadium since their Super Bowl loss to the Giants. So how about that? A bit of irony. And David Tyree and Eli Manning.
Stay golden, pony boy.
Stay golden, guys. What a win, what a game. And look, all right, and that's the wrap-up for the NFC and AFC Championship game. So we're going to give Dave Barron a call. Let's see how we go. Right on the line is Dave Barron from Sydney NFL Supporter Group. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to have you, and we got you on here to talk about our Super Bowl bash down at King Street Brewhouse.
Yeah.
Now that the matchup's set, I expect a lot of Australian NFL supporters, because I have a feeling about 80% of them are Patriots and Seahawks supporters. Would you agree?
Yeah, that definitely. That's what we've been seeing on the group in the last couple of weeks. A lot of Seahawks fans coming out of the woodwork. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. It should be a good matchup.
Yeah. Now, before you fill us in about all the details about this
this big bash. Why don't you tell us about how you became an NFL supporter and what team you support?
So I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Yeah.
Originally got back into the NFL when I lived in London about 6 years ago. Over in the UK, there's a lot more coverage of the NFL than there is over in Australia, mainly because it's more beneficial with the time difference.
Yep.
Obviously, at the moment, you kind of know with the during the season, you've got the 3 a.m., the 5 a.m. games over here, and only the diehards are obviously getting up to watch those. But back in the UK, those are kind of Sunday evening games, because the time difference between America and the UK in some parts is only like 6 hours.
Yep.
So the lunchtime games on a Sunday are kind of like 8, 9 o'clock in the evenings.
Yeah.
So there was a lot more exposure on the UK TV, but I actually got into the game because of an American friend. He kind of tricked me a lot when we used to hang out, and he used to ring me up and tell me that he was watching football and that I should come over and grab a beer and watch the game with him. And me being English in England, thinking football was soccer. So I turned up at his place and he's watching Green Bay Packers because he was a Packers fan. And I tried to explain to him that now he lived in England, he had to learn the difference between football and American football.
Yep.
So after a couple of times of him actually learning, he tricked me again and said he was watching a football game and I should go over, and I did. And it was, yeah, probably about 6, 7 years ago. And it was a preseason game between Green Bay Packers and Pittsburgh Steelers. And I got really annoyed with Luke because, I was like, dude, I'm getting tired of this now. You need to learn the difference between football and American football. He's like, oh, come on, you must be enjoying it now. So I was like, yeah, I kind of get into it a little bit. So he turned to me and said, oh, you haven't picked a team yet. Him being a Packers fan, I went opposite and went Pittsburgh Steelers because they were playing each other. And it was like about 5 minutes into the first quarter and the Steelers were winning 7-0. So
nice.
That's where the rivalry between me and him started, and that's why I became a Steelers fan.
Oh, that's pretty unique story. Very interesting. So now you're over in Australia, and you're sort of the co-manager of this Sydney NFL supporters group on Facebook, and it started earlier this year, and a few of the earlier members and myself and Woot were involved in a reality online sort of fantasy league that deals more with salary cap stuff, and unfortunately Woot won it this year.
I know, taking me out in the final.
Yeah, well, you knocked me out earlier on, so bit of revenge, buddy. Bit of revenge.
True.
Yeah. So this Super Bowl party at King Street Brewhouse, you want to fill us in on any details and, I don't know, any sort of stuff that many wouldn't know about by now?
Yeah, sure. So, obviously, as you mentioned, it's the King Street Brewhouse, which is in King Street Wharf in Darling Harbour. We've been hosting events there all year. It's kind of like the home of the Sydney NFL supporters.
Yep.
We had the opening season kickoff event there, and then during the year we've had kind of Thanksgiving, Labour Day, and then just random events when big games were on all through the year. So, obviously, that's where we're going to be hosting our Super Bowl party. Doors open at 8:30. Everyone's obviously going to get down early. But yeah, I spoke to one of the managers down at the King Street Brewhouse the other day, and he said he expects between 400 and 500 people there. So it's going to be absolutely packed, and the atmosphere will be fantastic.
Absolutely massive. Is there any seats left, or is all the seats and tables booked out?
No, so the management aren't actually taking any more bookings for seats,
yep.
But because it's the home of Sydney NFL supporters, we kind of got in early and got a large proportion of seats reserved for ourselves.
Yep.
We've allocated a lot of those to members of the group who have turned up to previous events and regularly post on the group and everything,
yep.
But we still do have a number of seats available, and anyone that's kind of asked in the last 3 or 4 days if there's any seats available, we said yes there are, but kind of get down early because it's going to be first come first served.
Yeah, all right, so get down early and get on the beers early. Any food and drink specials that we know about at the moment, or are we waiting till the day itself.
Yeah, there are some. I can't remember the prices off the top of my head now. No. I know that Scott, the manager there, will be doing, they always do some kind of American food platter, which would be like wings and hot dogs and stuff. And they usually do buckets of Miller.
Yeah,
for
that's some good.
Like $20 or something, $22, something like that.
That's some good stuff.
Which is always a good one.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a fantastic day.
Yep, all right. Thanks for all the details, and more importantly, I know it's a bit early on, but seeing as you know the Super Bowl run has started, who are you tipping in the big one, buddy?
It's going to be tough. Like, when I was on ABC the other week, I said it was going to be a Patriots-Green Bay Super Bowl. I was so close.
Yeah. I tipped the Packers on the radio last week. I got hammered by people, absolutely hammered. And for about 3.5 quarters, I was sitting pretty thinking, here we go, I can't wait to gloat on telly and then on radio, and then it just backfired.
When I picked Patriots Green Bay Super Bowl, I said Green Bay by 6. So, I don't know. I think I was looking at the line that the bookies were given the other day, and they were given Patriots plus 1. So obviously the bookies don't even know who's going to win it. But yeah, I think the Pats are going to win it, maybe by a field goal. It depends if Russell Wilson plays like he did on Monday, then the Seahawks haven't got a chance. But I can't see him throwing a QB rating of less than 10 in a first half and 4 interceptions again in a game.
No, I can't imagine him repeating that type of epic display. All right, thanks for that, Dave, and I'll see you on Monday week.
That was Dave Barron from the Sydney NFL Supporters Group, and that wraps up our show for our mini episode for this week. Make sure you join us on Saturday for our anti-Pro Bowl, where Ryan Lindley, or T. Rich, will be the first overall pick on Team Y for the anti-Pro Bowl. There'll be no...
filibuster.
I'm going to hit the ground running and take the first pick straight on. I've been on the clock for a week. I've been sweating over some late nights, just up awake, just thinking about it. Just don't know, tossing up. I have Ryan Lindley on my left shoulder and T. Rich on my right shoulder, and it's shredding me. It's destroying my insides. So I'll be happy to finish that up on Saturday, and for Woot to give us his thoughts on the Super Bowl and who's going to win that one. And I think we might have a little bit to say about Deflategate. I think Woot might think it's a bit overblown. Damn, I wish I had a boom-tsh drop, but I don't have one. But I think I have a strong view on it. Let's make it clear, the Patriots did not beat the Colts because of deflated footballs. But that doesn't mean it's okay to cheat and give yourself an advantage, and that always makes you wonder what else have they done and they've got away with. And it's a very serious issue, and I think I've put the question out on Twitter to a lot of people. Would you happily take a fine and loss of draft picks if it means you win a Super Bowl? I would do that every single year of my life. I just don't think they're enough of a fine when you deliberately break the rules like that. Anyway, that wraps up the show. Again, we will see you on Saturday for our anti-Pro Bowl. Get excited. Tweet us suggestions on who we should pick. And follow me on Twitter at JYNFL and the podcast at Woot NY. We're also on Facebook, The Woot NY Show. And please go to our Super Bowl party and buy me a beer. I'm thirsty.